Thank you.
So yeah, I'm going to share about my time in Zambia. So as Jared just mentioned, a couple from my church called Phil and Kath, they moved over to Zambia just over a year ago. Kath is a Zambian national, although she's also got a British passport. So she grew up a lot in Zambia, was educated in England, and this is a surgeon. And then Phil Hulsman, who's a bit here, he's electrical engineer by trade. And so they kind of went over there to Makingi, which is a really remote, out-in-the-bush mission hospital. She does the she's a surgeon there, and Phil kind of is set up his own department with maintenance in mind. So yeah, I went out there the end of July to see them, to try and help out whatever way I could. So yeah, that's kind of what I did. But I do want to give a bit of backstory and tell you, share a bit about my testimony before I went, because I feel like that'd be important and, you know, glorify God. Because it was so I graduated from university in May with a 2.1 in business management and human geography. I know, praise the Lord. I'd have liked a first, but I'll take a 2.1. So yeah, praise God for that. And so, yeah, my attention then, obviously planning for Africa, but then also looking for jobs. I didn't really look for a job, to be honest. Mom just sent me a link to apply to a job, and I begrudgingly updated my CV. Literally, I only added a paragraph and checked my phone number was accurate and sent it to this company called Compass. Yeah, so in July I went on 3 holidays, if you count Africa as a holiday. And so while we were on holiday in St Ives, I had a response from this company that I sent my CV to. And while we were on holiday, I took my laptop, and then we literally spent, less than an hour, and all the family tried to help me do the numerical and verbal reasoning test while we were on holiday. So that was a bit of a laugh, we did that. And I've sent that off, didn't think anything more of it. And then as I was driving back from St Ives to go on another holiday, I was in the car driving. This is as hands-free. I got a phone call from the company saying, we'd like to take you for an interview. You know, thanks for completing the online test. Can you do this week? Because we really want to get someone in the post really quickly. And I was like, no, I can't do this week. I'm going on holiday in, 24 hours. I can't. And they're like, have you got any time free this week? I was like, well, I've got a morning free, as well as packing and getting ready for another holiday. I've got a sort of a morning free to have a chat with you. And they said, yeah, we'll come in. So I had no prep time for the interview. I just walked in there, turned up, and it went quite well. I felt like I was just having a chat about my time at uni and my internship. And I thought nothing of it. I went on holiday, come back. But they were a little bit late getting back to me. And it was actually while I was on an orientation. Getting back to the reason why I'm up here now. It was actually while I was on the SIM orientation. They're the charity that I went to Africa with. They're called Serving Mission. So they're a Christian organisation, and they kind of deal with prepping missionaries for field work, kind of support you while you're there. And so even though I was only going there for a month, they're still really heavily involved in making sure that you're ready. And so I was on an orientation day, which is basically where you get prayed for, briefed about what to expect while you're out there. It was a really good day. It was also really encouraging because I got to meet a few other people my age who were going out to Africa for a short amount of time. So that's nice to hear their stories. And so it was at the end of that good day, I got a phone call back from that company, and they offered me a job, which was better than what I went to the interview for, and they'd also pay for me to do my chartered accountancy. So I was really blown away. And they were really, really understanding about me going to Africa. So they said, well, when do you want to start? And I kind of went, I'll start on the 3rd of September, which is a Monday. And I got back from Africa on the Wednesday before. So not a lot of time, again. But God has just, provided everything, sorted it all out. Glory to God. And, doing it in his strength and not your own. Because I couldn't have done that on my own strength. So that was really nice, actually, to go to Africa, kind of that sorted, even though I did have to sign and print the contract while I was in Africa. And then it was really confusing because on the form you have to put the location of where you sign it. And I thought, well, do I put Zambia or so I put the UK. So it's not really, is it lying? I don't know. Is it? Well, so I had to do that while I was there. Glory to God for forgiveness. Coming back on point now. I'd also like to say a really big thank you to you all because for your prayers and also financially supporting the trip, the church, provided, contributed towards this trip, and hugely grateful for that and everyone's generosity, and I couldn't have done it without that. So, yeah, thank you all for that. It's much appreciated. So, where do I begin? Being in Africa, working in a completely new culture was, just amazing. Eye-opening, life-changing. A few things that really stood out to me while I was there about the culture was how proximity helps us to appreciate complexity. Because, I heard all what Phil was saying about what he was doing out there, but you never really understand it until you're there, working alongside these guys, and then you appreciate the complexity. And also you appreciate how I definitely saw it through my eyes being very blessed, Westerner, being very very highly educated compared to their standards. And even down to the basics of having, enough food when you're a child so that doesn't stunt your development, and just appreciating that complexity of working with people that haven't had the same opportunities as you. But even putting that aside, there were awesome guys to work with. Even though I was there for a month, I felt like I got as close to the guys I worked with there as I did with work colleagues I've worked in the UK for nearly 2 years, just because there's that kind of sharing. They really want to share about their family. That's really important to them, getting time to know them. And that was great to have them conversations. And they would just happen really randomly. Like I was just working with one guy and Phil needed to go get some tools. So I was just sat more or less in this field where the hospital gets their water from. And I just had this lovely moment with this guy just chatting about his family. I found out that he's never seen the coast. He doesn't, because Zambia is a landlocked country and he's never ever seen the sea or a coast. And it blew his mind to think that you could stand on the edge of your country and see the sea around him. That was his mind. And I've never met someone, a lot of them have never seen the sea, a lot of them have never travelled outside their own country. So that was great to see them. And another thing that stood out to me was how often I think, I had the perception that we travel to teach but not to learn. And God definitely changed that, because I learnt more than I felt like I taught or helped out. Very high, very blessed out there. And so the roles that I'd kind of been assigned before I went out there was a lot more admin-based, because Phil kind of said to me, although it's a hospital and it needs surgeons, it needs doctors, it also needs administration staff, it needs people to do all this other work. So my original plan for going out there was to work alongside this lady who does all of that outside the hospital. But unfortunately, the way it worked out, she was on home assignment. And that's basically something that all the missionaries do to get them back home, kind of to allow them to keep connections with their home church. She was on home assignment, so that kind of didn't happen as we'd planned. And that's kind of almost like the motto of the story, being in Africa, nothing goes as it was planned. Like, you have to take each day as it comes. And that is very much their culture out there, taking each day as it comes, because we can sometimes become quite arrogant to them, just by saying, "Oh, we'll see you at Christmas." How do we know what God wills, and how do we know that we'll make it to Christmas? Because unfortunately, life out there is very hand to mouth, very day by day. But that's also quite refreshing to live like that, to not to see life like that. Where was I going on that? That was a bit of a tangent. My task out there. So I ended up not doing as much admin as planned, but that meant I got to spend a lot of time with Phil and see what he does on the water side of things, which turned out to be quite drastic while I was out there. So it's literally within 4 days of me getting there, I'd kind of seen all the water system, kind of got it all in my head, you know, the springs where the hospital gets the water from, the pumps that chlorinate the water, puts it into the header tanks, and that's got distributed to the hospital. And I got a phone, I was doing some admin in Phil's office, and I got a phone call from him. He goes, "You wouldn't believe this, but the chlorine that we used to make the water safe to drink had split and had leaked everywhere. So we lost, a lot of money's worth, and so we basically lost all the chlorine. So Phil was all hands on deck trying to figure out a solution for that water supply. And that's kind of the running theme for the whole time I was out there, was the water supply. And again, that makes you really blessed how we can just turn on the tap and have fresh water. And just how critical, you know, that it is water. You know, we need it, don't we? So that was really humbling to see. And so my other task while I was out there was, I don't know if you're aware that Felicity raised and some others had a big cake sale and that at Charford quite a few months ago, to raise funds for provision at the hospital with regards to play equipment for children out there, just because there's nothing for them to do. They sit there bored all day, there's nothing for them to do. So they thought it'd be great if they have some toys and that. And I think this thing turned out to be a lot bigger than they thought, because the money that they had was huge. You know, it was a good sum of money that they raised and sent to Phil and Kath. And Phil and Kath wanted to be good stewards with this money and see it spent correctly, kind of tasked me with designing a playground for the hospital. Me and Phil chose 3 sites on the hospital ground. There's this Australian company that specialise in playground ideas for rural locations with not much infrastructure. You know, it uses recycled car tyres, local skills, local labour. So I used a lot of the ideas off that website and just applied that to the sites that we'd identified. I've never done that before, but it was really good to do. I wrote up a brief to give to the management at the hospital outlining our ideas for the playground, what we wanted it to be used for, kind of the story behind it. So although I didn't get to see that actually come into fruition, it was really helpful and good to be able to get involved in that and do that for Phil and Kath. And then another task I did was helping update and maintain asset registers, because things in the hospital have a tendency to wander off or just break. So the asset register is really useful. It just basically keeps track of the equipment on each ward and allows the nurses to note down when something breaks, to get in contact with the workshop team so they can come and fix it. So I was strolling around the hospital with a clipboard, speaking to all these flustered nurses when, you know, they've got a million things to do, and then I'll just come along and ask to see their asset list. I'm just like, well, you have a lot more important things to do than answer me. But they're very gracious and spent a lot of time with me, literally showing me each ward, showing me the different assets. I got taken around the whole of maternity, I don't really like hospitals, but I got taken around, you know, saw these babies in the incubators, and the level of access you have, you can just like just walk into doors, I didn't have to prove that my ID or anything, I just had a clipboard, and they just took me around the whole of the hospital. That was really strange. There's this, I was doing the asset register, and we just walked in on a woman having an ultrasound. And so we were just in this really small room. She was on the bed having the ultrasound. And I was with this guy, and we were just having a chat about the assets. And they just cracked on with the ultrasound. I felt intruding a bit, but she didn't seem to mind. What else? So I wasn't perfect while I was there. I made some mistakes. That wasn't a mistake, because it wasn't my fault. So what mistakes did I make? So, as I say, alluded to, you know, it's a big culture shock being out there, even to the way that you greet people. I was getting my head around that. The language barrier wasn't really a problem, because their English is pretty good. There's a few things that I got a bit confused about, but that's fine. So, mistakes that I made. So out there, it's very common to have, I don't want to use the word staff, but you employ people to help you out. So, for example, Phil and Kath have a gardener, a nanny, and a maid that comes in. And that's just very, very common out there. And also, it's a way of Phil and Kath blessing people, with money out there. It's another way of employing people. And they're, you know, really appreciative. of the employment I get off Villancath. I was with Phil taking his gardener back to where he lives, which was, you know, the hospital was out in the bush, but the gardener really lived out in the bush. I mean, it's a good job he was a gardener, really. But so he was like, you know, really remote. So we went out to drop the gardener home because he'd been working late at Villancath making a compost. So I kind of jump out. I'm kind of, you know, this is probably the remotest place I've been while I was out there. So I was really keen to take lots of photos while I was there. However, I was a bit too keen to take photos because I didn't really give enough time to greet all his family in that properly. Like I'd kind of, because I'm making excuses, but I'd kind of just jumped out the van. There's only a few of them there, so I greeted them. So I just cracked on with taking photos. But then they all came out. There's loads of them. So I kind of missed that while I was there. So that was a mistake, but I did learn from it. And Phil was very gracious in kind of saying, you've been good at greeting people, but, you know, there was that one time. So that was good of him to point that out. And also, in the run-up to going out to Africa, I kind of not stopped reading my Bible, but I felt, stopped reading my Bible and just a little bit distant from God, which I haven't had really before in my Christian journey. You know, even though I was with a Christian organization, obeying God, you know, because he's put Africa in my heart, obeying him with going out to Africa, you know, I still felt distant. So while I was out there, God really, you know, moved my heart towards him, you know, read the Bible every day while I was out there, you know, really moved me, you know, back to him, which, you know, was really great, which was awesome. Another mistake I made, which is another cultural thing, I accidentally paid a man a day's wage for 15 minutes work. Again, the excuses are coming. So I got a cold while I was out there, and I was really poorly, and I had a morning off just to kind of have a bit of a lie-in and rally around a bit slow. And so I was there, not feeling great, and this guy would not stop knocking my door, and he was really, really loud, and I just didn't know what to do. So I go out and have a chat with him, and he goes, his English was really broken and not very good at all. He's basically communicating that he wanted to sweep the leaves. And to be fair, there were a bit of a problem, not really a problem, but he wanted to sweep the leaves from away from the path and clear it and make it all look nice. And I thought, okay, I didn't. So yeah, I paid him a day's wage for 15 minutes work. And so yeah, that was a bit of a mistake on my part. But yeah, you learn from it. Another mistake, which is kind of not my fault, I brought back an insect in my foot, which is not really a mistake. But so I came back on the Wednesday, and I was best man at my friend's wedding on the Saturday. And so on the Friday, when we were doing the wedding rehearsal, I had a pain in my foot of what I thought was like a verruca coming. But come the Friday evening, it was like throbbing, like I couldn't move my leg without my foot hurting. So anyway, Saturday morning comes, and I'm like, Mum, you need to help me, because I won't be able to stand at the altar, I'm in that much pain. So she like straps my foot up for this flipping verruca, do you know what I mean? So anyway, I get through the day okay. And then Sunday evening comes, and Mum looks at it, and she goes, Cal, we need to do something about that. So she, do you want me to go into detail about it? Yeah, so so we soak my foot so the skin's nice and like pliable, and she gets like a razor blade and like starts cutting into it, and ooze starts coming out. And then at this point, Mum realises it's clearly not a verruca, something else. And this thing came out in like one big like chunk, whatever it was, and like there's ooze and gore and all of that. So yeah, that wasn't my fault. Mum did a really good job, by the way. It's, yeah, praise God. another mistake I made was I accidentally cut a lizard's tail off. It wasn't my fault. So I'd only been there for a few days, and I had this lizard in my room, and so I just thought, I'll treat it like we do a spider in the UK. So I get a glass, and then realise the circumference of the glass won't fit over the lizard. So I get a bigger, measuring jug from the kitchen. I get that from the kitchen. And so it's in my room. I've got the measuring jug, and I'm, like, shaking like a leaf. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is very scary. So I've got the jug, and it's gone underneath my bag. So I pull the bag off, and the lizard looks at me the way I'm looking at the lizard, and we both panic. And he darts underneath my bed. So I panic and just drop the thing on him. No, it's fine. So it goes to him. What about me? and it catches his tail. And it catches his tail. And he darts underneath my bed. And the whole tail comes off. And it's just there, moving underneath the... So I go over and tell Phil and Kath, and they're like really chill about it. They're like, oh yeah, their tails do that. It's like a defence mechanism. So the predator goes for them, gets the tail, but they can run off fine. So, yeah, grows back. So, yeah, the lizard was fine, I think. So, I think that's all my mistakes, all my sins confessed. More important things. So, how are Phil and Kath? They're really well. They're good. They're really amazing. I ate better there than I did at home, which I think was really ironic. You know, going to Africa and eating there, like fresh vegetables, literally fresh vegetables, steaks. Dessert, handmade dessert every night, even though there's no electricity. Calf just magic something. I couldn't have done it without them. And it was really great to spend time with them, get to know them a little bit more, spend time with the boys. They're adapting to life out there. They haven't got many friends their age, so they're... struggling with that a little bit, the boys are, but they're great. They love living there. They can just go out, they've got a swimming pool out around the corner of their house. They're digging holes in the big garden they've got. They love chasing the monkeys away from the avocados in the garden. It was great to spend time with Phil and also the other missionaries that are out there, because there's there was another family and a few other single missionaries while I was there. A lot of them had gone home while I was there, so I didn't know if they knew I was coming, so they all went home. I was just taken away with the other missionaries' honesty about the situation out there. They didn't try and put a front on for me. They told me as it is. They said, because of the lack of funding for the hospital, we're in the worst shortage we've ever seen. We're having to make do. I was just very humbled that they didn't try and put on a front. They said, we sometimes really struggle with work out here. They work really hard. And I kind of, being naive and not knowing much about a hospital, it was only when another lad from Singapore was there doing what I was doing, but actually working in the hospital. He's nearly a qualified doctor. And he said, the hours that these guys put in, Kath included at the hospital, are just way above what you'd expect any normal doctor to do in this country or another country. So that kind of really did pull it into perspective how hard they work and how much they're giving to the hospital. One Friday every month, surgeons get flown in and just perform surgery literally all day. I think they were in surgery 16 hours, just doing operation after operation after operation. And because this surgeon's got such a good reputation, there's a waiting list of people wanting to be operated on by him. So one of the nights we took over a load of food for the surgeons and delivered that for them. That was really humbling to see how hard they're working out there. Actions after Zambia. After having that experience, doing the playground, the asset register, seeing Phil and Kath. I think I'm just overall a lot more thankful for basics, a lot more thankful for family and kind of seeing, life at its basic and how life can still work being basic and still function being, just the essentials. I think that's quite humbling because, me especially, you do have, we are blessed with a lot of material wealth here, and it's nice to be reminded that, we don't need that. We need God. We need his provision. So that was a real big takeaway from me from the whole time out there. How long have I got? Am I doing all right?
About 10 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Shall I How do you want to do this? Because I've got, just from us spending time with Kath, some prayer requests from them. So shall I tell you the prayer request, and then we have, I don't know, like a minute of just praying out loud in one go for the prayer request? Okay. Would everyone be up for that? Prayer request for Kath, literally in the week to come. One of the surgeons that's normally there is away. And so, as I said, they're already working really hard. So you take one surgeon out of the equation. So they've all got to do a lot. So Kath will have a really increased workload this week. So we'll all pray for her for this week run smoothly. That'd be great. And also, I had to remind them, because I was quite humbled that they asked me, but they kind of said, you know, as an outsider, how would you evaluate our life here? You know, what are your thoughts? And they kind of alluded to, should we be doing more? And I just turned around and said, no, you should not be doing any more. In fact, you know, you'd be more than inclined to do a little bit less. Just to pray that they do what they can manage, and they're not disheartened by not being able to do, you know, just they set themselves realistic targets, and God's there to strengthen them and provide. And yeah, they do everything in God's strength and, yeah, what they can manage. They also need direction for the future, because they're originally on a 2-year assignment out in Zambia at the hospital, and that finishes, well, they're coming to the UK around March time next year, around there. And so they just really need prayer and just clear direction for the future, what life is going to look like in Zambia, because they're just very conscious about getting the boys into school and what they need to do with regards to that. So they need prayer for direction for the future. And also probably a request for Phil, probably both of them really, just because they really said how much of a help you guys are to them, you know, like the WhatsApp messages, supporting them. But they're lacking that, like actually on the ground, like people there to really, I mean, they have, you know, like life group out there, but it's very difficult when you're working and then praying with all your colleagues. It's very, you know, I likened it to like being on a space station almost, you know, you're very tight-knit. Just prayer for them that they, you know, get the support that they need, you know, both spiritually and friendships as well. So, see if we could all pray for them things. If you remember that, that'd be great.
Should we stand up and do that, and we'll all do that
together? Okay. Shall I do the counting? Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Yes, Lord Jesus. I thank you for my time. Yes, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for my time in Africa, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your blessings, your many blessings, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Father God, would you be with Phil and Kath, Lord Jesus? Would you be with them in making the decisions for their future, Father God? Would you be with them this week, Lord Jesus, just to provide that stability, Lord Jesus, that focus, Father God? And would you be with them, Lord Jesus? Be with them each day, Father God. And I just pray, would you bless them? Would you keep them safe, Father God? And I do thank you for Phil and Kath. And thank you for them, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Really good. Thank you. Thank you for the stories and the gore and the things that we can now remember with that visual image. Karen, would you like to come out, please? Karen, I don't know how she's daring to do this, but is leaving to go to university. And she'll be missed by us because she's so awesome. She's an amazing young woman of God.